Honorable members,
we now go to the part two, section two or phase two of the meeting. You will recall we agreed on a particular process which voluntarily is not in our hands nor in my hands. So we will give to the committee staff to take us through that process, and then we will have to deliberate on that. I don't know. There is Mr. Goyama. I nearly said Dr. Goyama. Yeah. You see the problem, there is no deputy for a doctor. That is the deputy doctor to Dr. Nicole. So we have got Mr. Goyama, Fatima, and Ms. Boss. Thank you very much.
Honorable Chair, honorable members, and colleagues, good morning. I will be presenting a brief progress report on the inquiry. I would like to report that an advert was placed on the Parliament website on the 3rd of May to invite for public submission. And the due date for those public submissions was the 18th of May, 2018. Submissions were received, and the committee staff is currently processing those submissions. I will then move on to the plan going forward. As a point of departure, expert witnesses will be called to brief the committee on the phenomena of state capture. After expert witnesses have been called, then other witnesses which will be called after the briefing by the experts. After the process, a report will be compiled. Moving to the current stage, what is currently happening? With regard to the submission, very few submissions were received. Only two submissions were received within the 3 weeks period. And there's also an issue of non-availability of witnesses, if we consider the fact that if you want to investigate the optimum call, there is a witness who is based in Switzerland. So we still have to work around how are we going to deal with that situation. We are also dealing with the availability of witnesses. So we are busy processing witnesses. But we can report that the initial witnesses, the expert witnesses, are ready, and we as a staff, we are also ready. So there is nothing that is holding the inquiry at the moment. Thank you very much.
Thank you, members. Just to add on what Nati has said, the two submissions can be made available to members. I didn't print them because one is from Outer, which has got sort of it's a pile. If I can request members to have the memory sticks and put to your memory sticks, because if we print them, it's going to take some time. It's huge documents. And the other submission is just an email which it's not really talking to what the inquiry is. It's just someone who's saying that you know, the facts about Mr. Bhatti, that will be made available also to members and decide on that one. Thank you.
I initially said English is quite a soft language in the initial previous discussion. But if I were to say this in English too, well, it should be too strong language. Let me keep this to me.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. The first issue would be, and you raised the copies. Are you intend giving in a hard copy? I think I missed your reply about the hard copy or email form. That's the first thing. Both those submissions. The second issue is the availability of witnesses shouldn't be a problem because I think it's being dealt with on another level by the department, by the Committee on Energy. And those are talks about how to get these witnesses to the Parliament. So we could latch on to that process. So they should be summoned. I mean, that's the bottom line. And Mr. Follick indicated in the speech last night, they will come to Parliament because if they decide not to come to Parliament, the whole authority of Parliament then is just diminished. Let's try and understand the issue. The third issue is we would like to know one way or another who the witnesses and what the issues are which the committee decides upon. I don't know who the committee is, whether it's Mr. Yonder, or we'd like to know who the committee is and, of course, who the witnesses are being considered at any point in time, because although we're not part of the committee, we'd like to know whether there's a witness who's not adhering to the request, who the witnesses are the committee intends, or the subcommittee rather, intends calling. Then the next question is, when do we start? Because I think it's overdue. It needs to start. And the question then becomes is, which shouldn't be an issue, is who the two or who the first witnesses to be called are. Who are the expert witnesses? Because that will indicate to us how we're heading, where we're heading, and why we're heading in a certain direction. Thank you.
Have you finished listening?
I'm waiting for the answer.
You have listened and then you are digesting
Let me answer the one that relates to the committee. The first one you'll remember, and my understanding is that the team is led by Legal Services, which is Fatima. I prefer not to say Miss or Mrs. or whatever, or Doctor. Let me just leave it. I'm sure it's comfortable with Fatima. She's the one legally. You remember what decision was that as members of the committee, we seek to stay as far as possible in terms of the administrative processes so that we don't put undue influence in terms of how the process legally is supposed to unfold. The only issue at that time, which I now assume we have been given an answer, was the evidence leader, which I thought they should have started there to say, she is the evidence leader. She is the one who's going to be guiding the committee, dealing with all the preliminary issues. There is no committee. It's the assistant staff that remains that we have. So there is no additional personnel to her. So she's working with the very same committee staff on the work that is doing. So we will always be subject to her availability on those issues. So I think that is the first part. So there is no subcommittee or committee. They are the ones. But I will come later to other issues which I don't want to put the cart before the horse. Just to refresh the minds of committee members, because there could be technical issues that we might as a committee have to either rectify or deal with them in a manner that doesn't make comebacks to the committee. If For an example, the terms of reference and the point that Honorable Schmidt is talking about with the process going forward, I assume that will have to be confirmed by us here. They are just making proposals or recommendations to the committee on what they think has to be done. Finally, it rests with us as a committee to accede or suggest differently, but within the framework of what is being proposed in the administrative process. So I just thought I must cover that part, that there is no committee. They are making proposals and suggestions to the committee. Fatim?
Thank you, Chairperson. Just to respond to Honorable Schmidt's issue about the subpoenaing of witnesses, that's certainly an option available to the committee, but what we were waiting for initially was for the closing date to come in terms of the submissions. We only received two submissions, as the committee secretary indicated. We obviously were hoping that there would be more, but nonetheless what we have done is we've got a preliminary list of persons who we think will be able to assist us and give us information. In the course of the next week, up until the end of next week, we'll be meeting with those selected persons and to see if they can perhaps give us names of other people that may be of interest. And once we've completed that fact-finding mission, we will then be able to come back to the committee with our proposed list of initial witnesses.
Mr. Chair, yes, there's a very important issue, and normally you have witnesses which testify about a certain state of fact, like expert witnesses who are in position of authority, and then you normally have witnesses who come to you testify about their understanding and what they've seen and what they've discussed with certain other individuals. So more factual witnesses. Now, normally every situation is either or sometimes. No, it didn't take place because I wasn't there, or I did go because the reason is diametrically opposed to someone else's explanation. Now, why I'm saying this is because I think there will be expert witnesses, there will be people from authority, from the DMR, like whoever dealt with the matches and decisions to fly or whatever. But what is important is we need to have, as much as we have departmental officials, we need to ensure that some way or another, those individuals, like, I don't know, maybe I should give a name, maybe I shouldn't, but people who accompanied the former minister should also be called. Because it is important for us to understand what their version is of why they say they went with a minister to, let's say, Switzerland. Because it is part and parcel of this process to understand not only what our view of the factual position is, but what those people who are alleged to have led to the state capture activities or caused the state capture to take place, what their version is as to what happened. Because then we can say, this is a true reflection. We can say, well, they're talking nonsense, or we agree with them, but they need to be called as much as we have, let's say, the DG of Department of Mineral Resources called to say, this is what took place factually. Now, one would like to call why you say that you went with a minister to conclude a certain deal. That is an important part of the exercise as any other part. Thank you.
Can we do it like this so that I want us to, even from my point of view, to be cautious. The first issue, my understanding on the question of expert opinion or people with expert opinion is people who may not necessarily be involved, but who can give what do you call a perspective or a background foundation or understanding of the concept itself from, from an academic point of view. What is the general interpretation of the norm? So they will give that perspective. either legalistically, academically, or whatever. They will just assist to unpack what phenomenon is this one. That is what I understand. The second part, which is the one that I said, maybe we should, I'm more comfortable giving them a leeway so that they don't come here and say, so-and-so said you must call so-and-so. It's a process that says, in my understanding, there could be witnesses that automatically, if I use that word, automatically by virtue of their mandate, I'm making an example, Mr. Khasmeni, just as an example. It is within their jurisdiction, because witnesses should not go on the basis that they can volunteer or they can be enlisted to say so and so. Only at that point where they become antagonistic, then you then look at a recourse that you have. But linked to that is based on the submissions that were made. Then if on those basis of those submissions, I think they are at liberty to say, based on these submissions, we think these people can bring this thing to the attention and they require to appear. But the risk is that, according to what they were making initially, there could be witnesses who are not willing to come public, whom they would first have to have an interaction with, which I think then as a team, if I use the word, when I'm saying a team, they should be given the leeway to engage with those, whether they are still in the mainstream of public service or outside, but they may not be prepared, I'm making an example, may not be prepared to come here and look face to face and say this is what. So there could be background work that will have to be done, either to give them assurance or to look at the authenticity of the information or things that they want to present. The last one, which I think in terms of the witnesses, is that I think it's a liberty for all of us sitting here. Rather than, because I can tell you, if you say Mr. Piginini must appear, just make an example, the potential of Honorable Mandela says there is no need for that is very high, and we end up debating here whether he should or he shouldn't. So my issue is that as a committee, a little bit of confidence, or if we were to use a better word, benefit of doubt, should be given on the administrative side. The last thing I think you can clarify for us is that sometimes there are certain things that I'm not saying it can happen, honorable members, that discretion might be given to them whether to divulge all the witnesses even before they can appear here. And are there no risk that could be associated with that? Because maybe some witnesses would just to say, tomorrow we are listening to Mr. Luzipho, who will be coming and making and presenting in the committee, rather than to say, Mr. Luzipho, probably that's something that will happen almost down the end of the line. And in some cases, Mr. Luzipho doesn't show up for whatever reasons. I'm just making an example to say. My plea or my understanding would have been, I know we're not taking all the powers, but to save us as politicians to be seen to be so highly involved to a point where we might even be the ones who tomorrow, but I don't think it limits members to say, hey, I think that chairperson has got a case to answer himself on state capture. Then they be given a discretion to say, no, we will look at it, but give us the name. These are the bases that, as a member of the committee, I feel they are supposed to appear. Then they can give that discretion to say, no, we think he will appear. But if members feel that what they would have proposed as witnesses did not appear here, and they think there was a basis for that person to appear, the final decision will come from this committee whether that person should have appeared or not. But I'm just saying, for the fairness of the process, maybe we should give that latitude to them to follow those things. But I've got no reason to say they've got an interest in the process to an extent that they may try and not do things otherwise. The last thing I think we'll have to finalize is the question of the process that they are suggesting. Let me be upfront why I was saying that. I'm not sure on our records, maybe the secretary will help, whether first, I remember we just said in principle we adopt the terms of reference. In principle could mean in the meantime, but we didn't want to throw them in until we are clear who's the evidence leader. And now that issue has been clarified. The second thing is that there is a process that was undertaken. That process is the one that had given 3 weeks now on the submissions. Technicality comes in. Like Honorable Lorima said, is going to listen and then we'll come back later. There might be people who will want to listen and then come back later. Do we take that 3 weeks to be closed and sealed? Nothing else will come in after that, and we run with that process. So I think that's the issue we have to deal with, and then we can then endorse or even condone the actual process that has taken place for now, and then say from this process what becomes next. I think those are the areas that we may have to look at. Honorable Lorim.
I do agree, Mr. Chair, that I don't think we can close that list. We don't know where this inquiry will go. Something may come up during the thing where we realize that we do have to have submissions from a different area, a different set of people. So I think we mustn't close that off. We must be alive to that possibility. Secondly, I think that it is important that the committee does have input on the witnesses being called. I'm happy to step back, you know, and allow the process to proceed, as long as there is an assurance that, you know, if Honourable Mandela thinks that there's somebody who's missing out, he can put it forward to the committee and we can then decide. I think the important thing is that nobody can see this process as happening behind closed doors by officials. It has to be at certain stages also open to people so they can see what we're saying and what our reasoning is for these things.
Yes, Mr. Chair. I'm not sure. Maybe it's part of the discussion which will follow a bit later on, but we just need to determine the time frame. It's important. And then secondly, I think it would be fair on members of the committee to give, if it's short notice, so be it, but at least some form of notice who's going to come to testify. You don't want to walk in and say, oh, who's today? I mean, it's very difficult to anticipate what's going to happen. So, and that brings me back to my first question, is the expert witnesses, because, you know, it kind of prepares you as to where we're going, the two, or the one, or the two, whoever the expert witness may be. If you can divulge that to us, we'd be appreciative. Thanks.
Chair, just to clarify, the purpose of the meetings that we're going to have over the course of the next week are with those people that we've identified that may have information that could assist us, but that notwithstanding the advertisement didn't necessarily respond to the advertisement. So I have, together with the committee secretary and the content advisor, been making a number of calls indicating to people that by speaking to me, you'll be speaking to me behind closed doors, in confidence. Anything said in those meetings is off the record, and trying to encourage people to come forward. That being said, obviously the intention over the next week is not to target those witnesses that we know will be hostile, because there is nothing in law that compels them to speak to officials. It's only a subpoena that would compel them to come to Parliament and appear before the committee. So this, what's happening at the moment, is simply background work. We received quite a substantial submission from ALTA. It runs into hundreds of pages, if not more, and that's the reason that it wasn't printed, but will be made available electronically to you. In fact, it's too big to even be emailed. We have a meeting set up with them. They are focusing more on one or two particular aspects of the inquiry, specifically as it relates to the minister. Of course, there's another part of the inquiry as it relates to the department. So following that that meeting with them, we will make arrangements for them to come to the committee and to brief you on that aspect. We've also made calls to academics, particularly those that were involved in the state capture inquiry on the ESCOM matter, because a lot of this evidence is peripheral, the ones that are related specifically to the DMR, are peripheral to what happened in ESCOM, and we're trying to encourage them to also come forward. Some of them have indicated resource issues, time constraints, and so on, but we're going to try our best as a team to get a wide variety of people before the committee. As I've said previously, the point of this exercise is for Parliament to conduct oversight. It's not a court of law for us to find that anybody's innocent or guilty. So even in determining who those witnesses must be, it's in order for us to get a full picture of what is transpiring at the department as it relates to state capture and other departmental issues of maladministration as well. So I certainly don't hold any views. I've made that clear to everybody that we've contacted, that I'm there to listen, and I'm happy for them to come to the committee and give their version of the story. Mm. As you mentioned, it's then the job of committee members to test the veracity of that information that has come forward. Our role is merely to assist you to get to that point. Thank you, Chair.
Thank you, Chair. I'm rather concerned, Honourable Chair, with time here. You know, we have, through the staff and legal services and at the assistance of Fatima, been able to issue out an advert, which the due date was the 18th of May. Now you have two submissions that have been received. This thing out there in the public has been made to be a giant. Seemingly have the feel that we are dealing with a huge matter here. And you would have anticipated that there would be real public participation in this. You would have had a number of submissions out of this. Now we're dealing with nearly two submissions, one from Outer, which runs in the hundreds of pages, and one from another source which seemingly doesn't actually deal with what we want to look into. We are at a point, honorable members, where our work is coming to a closure. And I'm beginning to be concerned about if are we really going to be able to do this work and conclude this work, looking at the process that is unfolding, the lack of commitment from the public in terms of availing information and being actively involved in this issue. So I would like guidance in this regard, Honorable Chair, and Honorable Members, maybe you also are able to assist in this regard. Are we able to really conclude this work and deal with this work within this tenure we have? We, in the next week or two, will be going on recess. We're only back in August. And what awaits us in August? These are the questions I think we need to ask ourselves and try and move quickly and think quickly on these issues. Thank you, Chair.
This ad that went out, could you just indicate to us where it was published?
On the Parliament of Site.
On the Parliament of Site.
That's all.
Yes.
I don't speak.
No, I mean, my point is that it's not very, not many people read the parliamentary website. I mean, aside from us, maybe, and even not all of us. Is there not a, somewhere else we should be placing it?
Uh,
perhaps to also piggyback on Honorable Lorimer's question, do we have funds for such? Because once you think of any other elements, whether you go to print media, television, radio, you're talking now about costs. Do we have funds for that? And this is what my initial concern was about this kind of work. The Parliament made a budget available for us to be able to do this work thoroughly. Thank you.
No, in fact, that was the reason we opted for Parliament website, because of a lack of funds.
Isn't this what GCIS is for? Can't they help us? I mean, for a price we can afford, which is nothing.
Honorable Lorimer, I will make a follow-up with our media person, which is Justice Molofo. Molofo.
Not
Molofo. As a matter of fact, the reason that we opted for the parliamentary was to cut it because of the budget constraints. Also, the media did conduct me. There were media people who were conducting, and we've seen when they put the resolution of the committee, and there were people who were in contact of me, and I've told them that we will put the advert there, but to my surprise, they didn't put any submission. But as I'm saying, I will make a follow-up with the media person to see if the GCIS can do this for free. Because normally, an advert in the Sunday Times, a small piece, it runs over 100,000 for that one day. So if we put, let's say, to three different papers, we'll cut the 300,000, for example. So I'll double check that.
Can we look beyond that? I mean, there are other options. I mean, maybe we go in specialist mining websites or something like that, or even talk to some of the industry people who might run a journalistic piece on it, because that's actually free. And I'm sure it would be of interest to that community specifically.
Okay, I'll come to Fatima. As we are discussing, my dilemma continues to come up. Honorable Mandela raises an issue. Let me start from that background. First, do we have adequate budget? The reason I'm piggybacking, he's used the word also, now I'm piggybacking from what he had piggybacked from someone. I'm piggybacking from what he had piggybacked from Honorable Lorimo to say to what extent will we go on something and only realize that we don't have, we've got financial constraints. I think I always prefer to work on something that has got an element of certainty. Remember, the letter from the House Chair was clear that anything that we need in terms of financial support, is that the word, something to that effect? I will have to check the letter instead. The second thing, Fatima says, that's why I wanted to come first before her. Fatima says, I understand the effort by members, but I'm trying to look at that effort vis-a-vis the process itself also and its implications. Fatima says, no, look, we look at this process not as an antagonistic process. I don't want to use the question in terms of judicial procedure and so forth or quasi-judicial. Let me use that. We're not looking at it as an accusatory process. We're looking at it as a capacity building and closed gap process that looks at what could have been the weaknesses that should not be committed if there were any and so forth. So it's more of a constructive, but at the same time, constructiveness would say, but here it goes beyond what you could look at it. It needs to be looked at it much deeper than what would have done in terms of our oversight responsibility. Now, generally, oversight responsibility goes to say, as a committee on this date, we are dealing with this thing and this is what we'll be doing. So I'm not sure, so that we balance. My fear is, that's why I asked the question, do we agree to close the period where it was closed, or do we say now we open the period, and then what implications it will have in terms of the time factor. I'm just saying, in the efforts we make, let so that nobody can come in tomorrow and say, but you didn't do this according to what you would have done, and therefore the entire legitimacy of the process gets compromised on the basis that you were not supposed to do. I think even if we follow that route, my advice as a member would be that we do so in augmenting the process, not to be seen as foregrounding a process. I don't know whether members understand what I'm saying. So the risk is very high. If it foregrounds the process, it may create an impression that we nullified what has been done, and therefore want to set up probably another process that will bring in more. But if we say it augments the process, it actually means, in as much as we endorse or we condone the deadline, we still open on the process so that we can have. But at some point, we must also, even on that process, create certainty. I fear to sit here and only to find out we are sitting on a process that is permanent. Even what they will bring in, let me just be ridiculous and say, you may end up having 40 or 50 witnesses. Ne? Depending how much time, the second thing is that at a practical level, you may sit here and find that you spend half a day and 2 days only on two. Because you can't cut when people say we still want to ask. So I can leave it to them to say maybe they can give us what then becomes an alternative way to augment the process on the basis of the, I don't want to say concerns, the views that members do have in terms of ensuring more transparency and more public invitations. Honorable Schmidt?
Yes, Mr. Chair. I'm back to the time issue because, you know, there may be a possibility that as soon as we start and it gets reflected in the media, there may be people who would like to come online, join on board, and it will be a growing exercise. So the sooner we start, the better, because if we're going to wait for everything to fall into place and have it in advance, we're never going to get to that point. So we need to start, and as we go along, see what the response is by the media, if anything, by the public. If there's no response, so be it. If there's lots of response, so be it, and we deal with it. But I guess that there will be people who are saying, I also want to testify, I also want to be saying whatever I know. So, but we need to get this process going, because somewhere now, and at least a year, this process needs to be finalized. And it can't wait until the next parliament, because I don't think the next parliament may have necessarily the knowledge to evaluate the evidence or try and establish what really took place. Thank you.
I'll come to another question.
Chair, I just wanted to mention that notwithstanding that the advert was sent out and there was a period, I have no intention of not allowing people to make further submissions as word goes out. Those people that have contacted us and indicated that they wanted to make a submission but couldn't do it within the time frame, we had indicated that this is different to a legislative process where we're dealing with a bill and it has a strict time frame, so certainly we can allow for additional time. The problem was that many of those seemingly interested parties that contacted us and indicated their willingness to submit information then failed to submit information, and our follow-ups have not gotten us very far. They're simply declining to do so and saying they don't want to be part of the process. I, on my own accord, have also made additional calls to persons that I've identified or I feel may have information from industry and elsewhere. Many of those are left unreturned. So certainly there is seemingly an issue here where people are not comfortable just yet to come forward, but that's not to say that people may not become comfortable at a later stage. And I think the meetings that we plan to hold in the next week will be helpful in sifting out what those concerns are that people have. But we are making attempts as an internal team to get as many people on board as we can.
Forgive me if I'm feeling a bit behind on this. I wasn't here on the 25th for that meeting, so I don't know whether you've already decided this. Is the intention to do preliminary work for the next 3 weeks and then suspend the whole process until August? Is that more or less what our... Oh, it isn't. Are we intending on working right through then?
Thank you, Chairperson. Fatima, if I hear you correctly, I don't know if I've understood you. You are saying you are not closing doors for people who didn't submit on time to come and testify. Do you have enough budget if those people come after the advertisement and then there are logistics that they should? Are you going to cover their logistics? Thank you, Chair.
Yes, Mr. Chair. The reason why I say the sooner we start, the better, because at least you will then have the latitude of a week or two to postpone between witnesses if it needs be. But if we start drawing towards the end of this term, or end of this five-year term, we may be rushed to finalise it, and that's my concern. Rather than start and then see where it leads us, we've got the time then to say we're postponed for a week or two or three or whatever the fact may be.
Chair, in terms of the...
Today it's you who are reporting to the committee.
Chair, in terms of powers and privileges, Act, any witnesses that are subpoenaed, Parliament must pay their costs to get them here, unless, of course, they're willing to come on their own accord. If we call anybody from the department, in terms of our normal oversight, the department will cover... those costs. I don't think that needs to come out of Parliament's budget. About the time frame, Chair. Now, the intention is over the next week, until the end of next week, to do the initial fact-finding. We've had some indications that some of the people we intend speaking to will give us names of additional persons that may take us to the week after that, and then I think, Chair, we would be ready to start and then let the proceedings unfold naturally, because as you say, things may change as we go along, but certainly we can start with the initial witnesses.
Okay, Honourable Members, can we try to do it like this? It's a very complex process. Let's leave. One, you can record. One, there is a proposal. First, as a committee, we say we endorse or confirm the terms of reference. Now, as the basis to which the committee will be working on. Secondly, we endorse or condone the time frame put for submission. Thirdly, we remain open for any further submissions that would be made until such time the committee finalizes and has got a clearer understanding of the magnitude of work. Because I think for now, it's what I would call finder. We need to have, when we have got certainty to say with what we have, this is what, that is only at that time we would say, well, because what you may have is a situation where when you say you finished, somebody comes in and says, yeah, I'm available too.
So we'll have to sit and wait, except if there is an, it's a matter of extreme measure. I'm saying this because I've seen, I want to be open to members. Some people have seen them when they were never even prepared to go to that process. Then when their names comes in, which is an issue we should ask, is that what we want to do, that if my name comes in, I then demand that I should come, when I was not willing in the first place to say there is this thing. So when my name gets mentioned, I then say to the committee, I want to come. Now the committee has to stretch itself, open up more office schedules to accommodate me. So we'll have to, at some point, to reach that. So we say we will look at that. But number four is that we will have to start with the preliminary process, which is twofold. I thought that's what we should be dealing with, which is twofold. The first one is a background or an overview, an expert overview of the phenomenon that we are dealing with. Whether you bring in your professors or whatever that would give a phenomenon perspective, that is okay. But the second part is what you say is in that preliminary process. We met with Mr. Luzipo, and this is the information. Or we met with a particular witness whose name we are not at liberty to deliberate on. It was based on this information, and this is what we have derived from this witness. It then becomes the matter of the committee to say, based on what is being submitted, does it warrant that it should be something that is not on record? Or we say we will devise mechanisms so that we can satisfy it ourselves, first with the relevance of the information, but also with the sensitivity that goes with the information that is being said. So that preliminary process of interacting with those things. Then the third leg is that even if we don't get the names of witnesses, the categories of witnesses. For instance, categories of witnesses could mean, like Fatima was saying, those witnesses that are directly in the line function of the department, and they could be witnesses that used to be, and there could be witnesses that volunteered to come with information. Then there could be witnesses that will require, even if they were never there, we may require them to be present to testify. That then will help us to understand the cost implications for those that may require to be invited and then take responsibility, because you don't only fly them if they need to fly, you also accommodate them. You need to chauffeur them, all those kinds of things. So we get those cost implications. There are those that you said, they might be in Switzerland. I want to be frank, I can see Honorable Mandel, you are not going to ask for volunteers. You might need to then say, rather than to, what are the, will Parliament allow a delegation to gather, The only thing I can rely to the staff, not to the two of you, because I'm sure you'll come with two contradictory reports from the word go. So we look at those things, whether they will require, because some of the things, I don't know, it will be dependent on you, whether people want to satisfy it with the information at their disposal. For instance, it may not only be the witness, it may also be to verify or to conduct what is called authentication of the destination, all those things, to say we once saw this and that. Shouldn't we leave? Then you come with, for me, I thought this is what we do, you then come with the program. Rather than to sit here and say what time, to say, I'm very uncomfortable. This one, take me to the gallows. I'm prepared to say it. I'm very, very much uncomfortable to put and hold the work of the committee. Not that I'm saying this thing is not important. There are many important things. Maybe consider dates that may not necessarily be in conflict with the normal days of the committee. I don't know whether you get me. So that as a committee, we still continue with
the presentation on mine health and safety, on illegal mining, on the mining charge. My main worry that once we might be concentrating this side, the pace that you are going on the mining charter might even miss us here. I'm just making an example. I don't know, Ayanda will still have to explain to me what will be the process with the MPRDA. And therefore, we must also understand the magnitude of that. So when you draw the program, based on what then you would have discovered, rather when we meet next week, even if we start with the, what do you call this thing? With the background overview of the phenomenon, the work that we would have done at the background level, at least we now know what is it that we'll be doing, we'll be dealing with based on the program that you have. Maybe you would have even consolidated a marginal number of witnesses that you think will come to the fore. Also understand, we might be looking at witnesses that we think or we believe will help to depict or reflect that there was state capture. Give due recognition of the fact that you may get others that would dispute and want to prove that there was no such phenomenon. So it's not going to be a one-way stream. It's going to be an issue that could be highly contested. Is that not probably what we could agree, honorable members? I think to me that's what it will be a little bit comprehensive for you. So we know when we talk about time frame that this is what you are presenting in terms of the program. We know when you bring witnesses on witnesses that this is what you are talking about. We know when you talk about financial implications that this is what in practical terms financial implications mean. So we deal with something concrete that is in front of our eyes. Honorable Lawrence?
Our last plenary is next Tuesday. And we're expecting to meet on Wednesday for the next couple of weeks after that. Our last plenary is next Tuesday, and we've got a meeting next Wednesday. The next 2 weeks, we've only got Wednesday as an appointment in Cape Town. I mean, are we saying then that we're quite happy, because I am, to say, you know, the following week, do we do Monday to Friday on this thing? I'm just looking for sort of an in principle. I do realize that things may change depending on circumstances.
There is a particular view. When you come next week, you will consider that also as a view. That's why I say they must come with the proposed program. We see it. Then that issue, we will then be able to say, but can you consider this and that and that? But that's why I was saying my concern is exactly what you say. Let's say even if we continue now, I want to be upfront, even if we continue during that period where we are supposed to be on constituents or refer. The problem is that when we come back in August for the mining charter and the MPRDA, we might be completely offside. It would have passed, by the way, because the executive is not on recess during that period. So the MPRDA, I have to check with the NCOP, but with the mining charter, the department will still be continuing. And by the time we come back in August, tell me if I'm wrong, Zondi, I heard you talking about June. My main worry is that you might finish by June, and by that time you finish, we may not be here. So we still also have to take that into consideration. That's why I said they must come back with a concrete proposed program, and then based on that must also accommodate the interest of the committee with regards to its normal work. Okay? Administratively, any issue? No, I don't want to do this thing and say, hey, you finished, you took a decision, but we are the ones in charge of the administration. Are you okay with that? Now, if legally, I can accept, because sometimes I don't believe on the other lawyers this side. Okay. Honorable members, no, next week. It's part of this. But go. Can I at this one, just give me a little bit of trust, not trust, confidence. Yeah, a little bit of confidence that will work.
Never trust someone who says you can believe me or trust me.
No. That's why I said a little bit of confidence, a little bit of confidence that we will work out and even look at whether next week we can do it not on the normal day, which is Wednesday. Can, that is the only latitude my request is. Okay, if it's agreed, honorable members, one thing that I think I must make concessions myself. I just came in, my mind is still not stable. Can I request to give you an overload? Just for today, an overload that we go back and relook at these minutes. They are not too much. And then we'll come back and endorse them, because I don't want to say to you, I've not read them myself. Okay, if that is the case, there is agreement on that score. You stand excused. Thank you very much.
Long live the chair. I don't know what you're saying.